It is now time for Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme. As we say good evening to the one, the only, the man, the helper of the people. Good evening, Sluggy.
Manners. Greetings. Thank you very much, Barbados, for rocking with us, for supporting the show so much. We truly appreciate it. And just want to let you people know, you will be coming on the road for sure, Ollie. At least two people ready now for the show to come on the road now. Right. No matter the cost, no matter what it takes. And Barbados, when I don't know how much that is mean to a person, let me know. So what they call it, say, Sluggy, I want this show, this place. I don't care what it costs. We paying for it. You know what I mean? That's absolutely, learn my earphones. That's absolutely beautiful. So we be on the road, Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme, the road show. So all the greats and the legends you see pass through, they'll be there as well. All the young artists and performers and entertainers, they will be there as well. And all the business persons, all the that you see we feature on the show and from the communities, we can make sure, we will make sure when we are on the road, we feature them the same way. So you see lots of entrepreneurs, small business persons, lots of artists, lots of young upcoming artists and business persons and sports persons from within the communities will be on the road with us. And of course, as you know, I'm partnering with the NTA as well. So we'll make sure we share lots of information from the NTA, because we have over 250 free courses, Barbados. Over 250 free courses. And if you are smart, get certification from an institution that is approved, Ollie, and accredited in Barbados by Barbados. If you were smart, I will do as much free courses as possible, because when you can take that to any job or institution and say, well, I trained with the NTA, you know what I mean, and must be accredited because it is our institution. So God bless the NTA. www.nta.org.bb. Good. Housekeeping taken care of today. This is Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme, 4341790. 4341790. Mr. Spencer was supposed to be my special guest today. We're supposed to have a world premiere, but as you know, Colin Spencer is very hard hitting, so we will check things again, make sure we have clearance for the plane to land. Because we can't give clearance for the plane to land unless you know the air traffic controller says come down. And call Mr. Spencer, sir, will give you a call, because I have to hear you, because it seems like there's going to be trouble this crop over season for crop over 2022. And I'm so glad that we are being able to take Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme on the road, because I will make sure we take lots of that trouble on the road with us as well. So I'm looking forward to crop over. But 4341790 today, this is what I want. This is what Sluggy want, Ollie. We don't normally call on the show, you know, and shout out and salute our local sports heroes, you know. Coming in the community, Ollie, I'm sure you came to Barbados young, so you will see this. You got some guys that might not play for a team, or might play for the team, but the local team. So if you live in Black Rock or you live in Jackson, you know, they've got this football or this cricket team, Black Rock or Jackson, that's playing real good. Mm-hmm. Met enough friends, they can't get you out. When you're in the road playing cricket, can't get he out at all. He ain't played for West Indies ever. He don't care about playing for Barbados. But when the boys in the road playing, you know he ain't come out and play. And boy, you can't get he out. You know what I mean? And you got some that will play basketball. If you're custom playing basketball, that will happen too. That's play real good and shoot. Ain't care about playing for the team. Scrimmage, you know? And then they got hometown heroes who will play for a particular home team right through with their career. So if I in Jackson, I play with Jackson all my life. When Jackson high, on high, I'm there with them. When Jackson piss poor, I'm there with them as well. They got those heroes as well. And from being in so many communities, you could see the love. You could see when two communities come and play and they got a rivalry going on and bragging rights. Well, I don't know if that's still going on though, but that was from my time, man. Out of season used to be such a beautiful thing. All the out of season football, you know what I mean? Like, out of season football still got that community vibe, and it used to make the place feel different. And used to have so much people at these places that don't even know what offside is. Don't even know when it's a 6 or 4. But the vibe just attract them there. You know what I mean? And that was the role for me that sports used to play in the communities. Man, we used to meet people come out. We used to come out and curse each other, Ollie, over games. You defend this beer junk? One of the best sell he? One of the best bench he? But that argument, that raving, that passion, and that love used to bring me together, because Ollie, I can't wait to get done by you next week Saturday to cuss you again, because I want my man hit every ball you bowl for 6. You see that love and that passion and that competitive edge? That is what I love in the communities. 4341790. I have community heroes I can speak about for sure. And our special guest today, young man, we will look at sports at a completely different way. We look at sports as a science, and we have a sports scientist here with us today. So we will get to talk to him about sports and what exactly is sports science, what made him decide to study sports science so young, what are benefits, Ollie, for our country, what are the benefits for our communities, how can he take something like sports science and use that to benefit our youth and the nation by extension. I want back that passion and that love and that drive in the community for sports. But I also want us to understand sports from a different level, because I feel like we need a bit more educating about how important sports is, Ollie. Sports and music was like the easiest unifier, Ollie. Even dominoes. Just sitting down with the shop playing dominoes, and you know who you're custom playing partners with. So when I get here to play dominoes and I see my partner, my whole vibe feel good and different. But they also got these two particular men we love to play against. But that made my vibe feel different again. You understand? So that was the role sports and games used to play all within our society. It was a very beautiful thing to see, man. I remember, listen, people talk about the Orleans, right? I used to go to the Orleans, Ollie, to watch football as a young man. It's like, as a little man, Ollie, pure love. And this out-of-season football in the Orleans, anyone listening could call in and testify this. 4341790. Some of the most beautiful football I've ever seen played in the Orleans, Ollie. I tell you, all the season used to be rammed. You can't walk. It's packed with people. You will never see nothing happen as long as football playing. You know, and you still got the best footballers in Barbados used to come specifically just to play in that Orleans tournament. And oh my gosh, the bragging. That is what sports used to, like, I'm taking my time because I want you all to know how much sports meant to me as a little man, because my mother and father didn't know what you're doing, you know? So I was free to do what I feel like doing, but sports used to catch my attention. So I would sit down and hold up and pasta, barefoot, and watch your man play cricket in the sun, Ollie.
My experience was, I used to live in Churchill next to Christchurch Parish Church.
Oh, yeah.
The Bear Pride of Gaul Hill.
Yeah, that would.
So you're talking about talent. You're listen, talking about gentlemen like.
Listen, you see that? Hold on, let me stick a pen, right? I will make you talk about that, right? Listen to me, right? Like, I'm getting old now, right? And all my life, when you hear the Bear Pride of Gaul Hill, especially near Camovi Radio, it used to shame, it used to make me feel nervous. Because God used to beat teams bad, and you say you raise it right there. Yeah. Speak on that experience, my brother.
It was beautiful because, you know, Sluggy, as you said, there's a lot of community spirit. So I experienced that.
And you feel that love, Ollie.
I felt it. I was surrounded by it. You know, back in those days, you heard a lot of, you know, things happen everywhere.
Yeah.
Not only in Barbados, in the world, on the planet. Yeah. All right. So there was a lot of negative, I would say, talk about Gold Hill, etc. But personally, I had positive experiences. You know, people like Air Seeley, Terry Seeley. Back in those days, you had football teams like Notre Dame. There was a goalkeeper by the name of Wayne Lovell.
Yeah.
Who was also the captain of their cricket team, Bayville.
Yeah.
So I played cricket for Bayville. To be honest with you, all I've experienced with a lot of positivity. You know, wherever I go, of course, there will be negativity, but it's what I choose to look at. What's my perspective?
Yeah, and listen, right, it was too... Sports as a youngster, right? Like, because it was hard. It was a rude boy, you know what I mean? To the maximum, Ollie. Like, my story deep. Police band saved my life, you get me? And police band saved my life. Listen, right? Hollywood, they were the game police band through things like sports. I used to play hockey for All-Stars. End up going away to play hockey. End up playing practice games for Barbados. So, and as hard as it was, if you didn't have a certain discipline, you cannot succeed. Don't care how hot your head is. If your head is hot, you can slip up now and then. So you might get a right card. You can slip up now and then. But if you got 80 games in a year, you're going to slip up 10 times. You understand? Can't afford it, because you will not be successful if you're extremely disciplined and dedicated in sports. Don't care how gifted you are.
Correct.
And obviously, I know it now. I'm old. You know what I mean? Or getting old, you know what I mean? But thinking back on it, that had because I'm not a sports star, but that just forced me to think differently. And then in sports, you used to have all different sort of children. So and then we can bring in our sports scientists, you understand? And let you introduce him his bio shortly. But we wanted him to hear this, how much sports mean to us. But Ollie, you have different children, so children from private schools, children from convent. You know, it's to be different children having different teams. So being where we was all young and you might be popular within the sports world, so you used to get to mix and mingle with different children, but they used to talk different, act different, and see life different. Because don't forget, like the sports part, give me alone. You play a game for 1.5 hours, and then when they get in line for 3 or 4 hours, you understand? So you can see how them is socialized.
Yeah.
You can see how them is eat. You will see how them is talk to their parents. You will see that for them, selling lemonade is a business and not just a little hobby. Because they want to buy a bicycle or a skateboard. So they buy their own bicycle from selling lemonade. Right. These are things they saw children do that it had nothing to do with sports. But because of mix and mingling with sports, you get me? So And I can't go as deep as they want because I'm not a scientist. I could just tell you from my personal experiences, which is what both of us did. Like, you explain how it made you feel. It made me feel the same way. So the negativity, I can't even focus on it because I want to win so bad. Or I want my team to win so bad. You understand? So ain't nothing for none else because, listen, again, watch these men practice tomorrow, Ollie. You're going to watch. Ollie, my bear pretty God, he practicing from the past and you're home.
You would watch it.
You cannot watch defenders. It. When defenders do a drill, and I'm not a footballer, Roderick, Mr. Sports Scientist, right? But listen to this. When they watch that drill with 2-on-1, one forward and two defenders, he can attack them. Or two forwards, one defender. Listen, man. And you're the sharpest of the sharpest. If you got a good team, even the softest two men back there will make you snort just because the dude the court say.
I learned a few things from it. I learned no matter how good you were, they used to put as much emphasis in the practice as they did in the game.
Bro.
They put as much energy. And then also what I also learned, which is a really big thing for many youth coming up,
mm-hmm.
as you said, discipline.
Mm.
There's a word called practice.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing a sport, whether you're studying, you got to practice. You got to read. You got to learn. And in something like sports, you got to do it over a period of time consistently. So beautiful.
But we need it broken down better than you and I can explain it. Ollie, and we are so thankful to have this platform to do that. So we seek out hidden arts. We seek him out because we care so much. And he said yes without hearing the full question. And he was extremely prepared. And this young man took his time to go to the University of West Indies early to do a certain thing. I want you to introduce Barbados to this wonderful young man. And then we and Barbados will have a chat with him, because what he did is phenomenal and it will really benefit us. 434-1790, shout out your sports heroes from your community and let me know what you want to see more in sports and what you love from back in the day. We have a wonderful guest today, Ollie. The show is yours.
With pleasure. Roderick Best is a 28-year-old young man who attended the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus, where he did his bachelor's degree in sports science. This young man has always had a passion for sports and uses that passion in all sports areas he is a part of. Along with being passionate, Roderick can be straightforward and blunt at times, but an understanding individual. He is a track and field athlete where he represented Barbados as well as UE in the Caribbean and the United States. Ladies and gentlemen,
nice boy.
Roderick Best.
Nice voice. Poor saying it's good. Hi, good evening. Night, good night. Evening. My brother, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yes. Listen to me. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise. We truly, truly appreciate it. What you all have to go through, and like everyone knows, I did a bit of studying, not at your all level, but diploma and associate degree. So, and studying is quite a gruesome thing. So, but yes, you took it a level higher to from what Ollie just said, and he don't tell us. Bachelor's degree. And if that's true, that means you had to also endure the pandemic while doing that.
Yep.
That is crazy. A science, bro. Like, better you than me with a young man. Just impress me every day with being Ollie. Imagine, like, not that we that old, but just imagine like, doing your bachelor's during the pandemic, but in sports science. How was that journey, bro? Like, it was any part of it that you said, well, listen, I could give it no, because you can still make money. Any part of it being, it's not to be too real, but I want you. And that ever creep in your mind, or if it didn't, what was the one thing that kept you going? Because that couldn't be easy in the pandemic, bro, because it was hard for all of us. So it had to be twice as hard for you.
All right, let me just say, well, I was also, when I'm at UE, I'm also on the Guild of Students, right? Ooh. So I'm a faculty of sport representative as well.
More work.
And the president, and I was the president of the Sports Science Society. So
more work again.
I had a very, 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 very strong committee. I mean, like, there were times where I wouldn't say that I wanted to give up, because I told myself, well, I'm coming to school here for 4 years, I'm going to get this degree in 4 years, and that's it.
Okay.
But there were times where it was just
maybe a little bit.
Like, lost interest, yeah. like the pressure was like very, very, very high. Because on top of school and on top of dealing with, you know, the students being, freaking out, anxiety levels like mad high. I still had my home stuff to deal with as well, and I still have my own set of anxiety to deal with, but at the end of the day, I must say I appreciate those persons within my life that, you know, helped me get through that tough phase. There was a point in time where I even had to do some little counseling too for myself, yeah?
I was there and proud. And I hear to even tell other black brothers like me, like, counseling and therapy is so beautiful.
Yes,
you know what I mean? It was there, bro. How studying, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I'm sure Oligan got questions in his head for you to call sports. Saying this must be a very interesting thing. But yeah. how as dealing with being in so many leadership roles, right, Roderick? But then dealing with counseling, what about the counseling and what from the counseling helped you on your journey?
You know, the truth is, right, when it comes to us as men,
yeah,
it's something that's really on the look. Fellas, if you're there listening, nothing's wrong with going to a counseling talk. It's actually give you that burden has a sense of that burden has been lifted. Mm. Yes, you can still got like that, you know, that manly pride inside of you that's still going to be there. It will not take away your pride. You know what I'm saying? Like having some person to talk to and actually getting to state, well, hey, XYZ. And even inside the sports science degree as well, there's also a course near like sports psychology, which is something that I believe is lacked here in Barbados as it relates to our athletes. Mm. Because I can speak from experience. When I was running, there was a point in time where I was at one particular point in the race, due to the fact that I am physically healed and not mentally over the particular injury. What happened is that at that point in the race where it happens is like, I hope something don't happen. It's always like that thing in the back of your mind, you know, hitting in. And that is where what hinders you. If you're a footballer, it's the same thing. You know that when you go to kick the ball, you decide to stop because I'm not going to go through with it. And then two tools, you know, you mess up the shop or whatever the case, and then you're like, you're adding more. So sports psychology is something I do believe is one of the key things that we need within our sports, and not just a sports psychologist to come like a day before the team leaves Barbados or day before a game or whatever. This is some person that, there's some person that needs to be instilled inside of your training sessions. Yes, like a person who can be present, not only present, some person who can work with your athletes, see where things are going wrong, know that, okay, Sluggy ain't up to par like today, something gonna be up, you know? And then at any day, you can still go talk to the athlete and say, hey, what's up? Bam, 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 bam. And then, you know, you get them over that hurdle and then they go back to being, you know, who they actually are, enjoying the sport and, you know, giving their full 100%.
That's interesting. And we could speak about sports psychology as well. We got time. We're going on till 7:30. We're here on Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, speaking with young sports scientist Roderick Best. You can call him, ask him any questions, or call and shout out people in your community, your local sports heroes, homegrown sports heroes, and what about it you miss. 4341790. And as they say that, the phone lines are going crazy. We have a call, Ollie. Yes, Roderick, we can take a call. We have a call here already, boy. Good night. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. This is your boy Sluggy Dan here with Mr. Oliver and sports scientist Roderick Best.
Good night, Sluggy.
Yes, please. Good night.
This guy here. How you doing, man?
Oh my gosh, man. Keep this call. Keep this call.
You can't got Bestie on the line and I'm not calling and bigger Roger. I'm so glad that you have him on the show. Is like you I don't know where you're finding him bigger yourself.
Yeah, man.
Yourself.
Yes.
Roger, I ain't wanna stay off for too long, man. Roger is a role model for many. I want him to share his journey. He went through a lot of challenges in life. I know he might not want to share them, but he come from humble beginnings. He come from real humble beginnings. He went through a lot when he went to community college, and I'm happy to see where he is today. He's a role model for many young men, and I want you to talk people that he is a role model for many young men out there, boss. Bigger yourself, Sluggy.
Listen.
I'm glad that you have him on your line, boss.
Listen. I love that call. Got to big up you, Tahir. I have to big up all of my young people that you know be out here, you know, trying to change the game. And shout outs to the NTI at all times, NTI.org.bb. Tahir, we're gonna do that for sure. But Tahir, before you go, as got this question for you, not Tahir yet. How do you feel someone in Roderick's field? In your opinion, how can someone in Roderick's field benefit us? And I mean the nation on a whole. I ain't just want it surface level, man. No sports, no. I want, how can someone like him, by extension, benefit us, all of us?
First of all, right, Roderick got a story that needs to be shared, right? Because coming from where Roderick come from and where he is today, that's a story that for a lot of people and a lot of people give up on life. That's one. Two, right? Sports is integral for development, man. As Ollie said in the beginning, this, all the things that sports is teaching is can be related in every aspect of society. We need more sports programs, more sports scientists, more sport developers involved in to develop the field in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And we need sports scientists to take over. We got a good program at UE. We got enough students, enough young Barbadian students coming out. And you need to have develop a space for them that they can create a sporting industry in Barbados. So again, I don't want to stay on for too long.
One moment.
Don't go, man. One moment. Listen, we are going to 7:30. We have time.
We got a little time. Just a quick. So Tahir, are you a relatively young person?
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Are you walking my age? But
you know, if you hear your age, you a freak out. Extreme me out.
No problem. So Barbados,
I got to leave now. Slugging.
Okay, Tahir. Have a beautiful night. Thanks for calling. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
But my just quick point, Sluggy, is Barbados, just take note. You have a young person calling in who is promoting and saying positive things about another young person. He's not saying anything about himself. He's saying, please ask this young man about his journey so that he can assist other Barbadians. Please just take note. You know, I know people talk about dialect and different things, but maybe it's the messages that we should concentrate on just a little bit more. This is, for me, this is really inspiring to hear somebody young come on, call in and talk about another young person and say, please, tell us about his journey. So, Roger, I think the floor is yours. Please, as much as you can, as much as you'd like to, of course, please tell us about yourself.
No problem. Well, my journey started back in 18th of June, 1993, where Miss Fiona and my father, Roger, decided I was supposed to be born. But nevertheless, through the years, as Tahir stated, I went to Ellerslie, the best school there is, I was there for 7 years. I got a CXC for each year. So, you know, I was thankful for that. I was part of the trap team as well. We had the 4x4 record. We almost had the 4x1 record as well. We went to Penn Relays, you know, first exposure for Barbados as well. We came in eighth overall the first year that we went. So that was a very interesting thing. Then afterwards, my life was a little ups and downs. In 2012, my little sister was born. Well, I have other little sisters, but this is one from my mom's side. She was born. In 2013, I lost my grandmom. And before gone, I believe that was like the, you know, the turning block in my life, because it's like everything just was not going, you know, everything was just like weird. But then, you know, I went to BCC where I did physical education. While I was there, it was a very interesting course. I would not tell anyone not to do it. It's a very, very interesting course. It gives you the skills necessary to know how to go about teaching physical education. It is not games that a lot of people like calling it. It's physical education. Yes. While I was there, what can I say? I had a lovely coach. His name was Michael Gaskin, God rest his soul. He was a very, how to put it, he was a very important person in my life. Like, as it relates to getting the knowledge, as it in anatomy, he was one that sat down and like broke down things into a way that I can understand it. And not only that, with that information, I'm able to go and teach that knowledge I was given. Mm. I got an opportunity to teach at the Allen School, one of the next best schools there is. While I was there, I must say, like, me and the students, we had a very good understanding of each other. It was not necessarily small. It was always, you know, it always had the teacher-student respect, but still, it was still at the point here as they could still sit down and talk to you. So, like, when I first went to the school on the morning, I had, like, three students. By the time I left Allen School for my teaching time,
on a morning alone, I had over two or three classrooms filled of students. Wow. And we were just like, we were talking about everything, like anything on the sun. Anything on the sun, that thing. And I found that, like, for me, that was, I felt really proud about
that. That's beautiful.
I was able to talk to students, you know? And then every morning.
Beautiful.
Like, every morning, like, I started with three, and like, that was Monday. Tuesday, I had like five. Wednesday, it going up.
Beautiful.
So like my last day, like it was just like a whole set. And like, they weren't like rude or anything like that. But they had one or two, you know, students. Had one or two, that was a thing. But when they said, well, you know, I straightened up. As I said, it was blunt and straightforward. And then up to this day, we're very good friends. And I was like, ah, sir, Mr. Best, all is well, you know, stuff like that. But like, what I must say is like, as I was talking about what Gaskin had done for me, is that when I went to the class, because there was a class that was going on, the students was in there for like almost two periods, and they had some work that they needed to get done, but they could not understand it, or they could not get the work done properly. So it was like, okay. So I went, I said, hey, what's up? My man, I'm Mr. Best, man, I can't get this work done, man, this and that. I said, okay, well, here, let me see the questions. So after I read through the questions, I was then able to, well, you know, I have the knowledge of it, so I could write down the stuff, but I'm not supposed to give them the answer, so I was helping them get the answer. So I figured out what sport they basically played inside the classroom, and then I went ahead making my rounds from there. So I'm like, okay, let's say we were talking about respiration, for instance. All right, okay. What system does a long distance runner use, you know, maybe aerobic system. Mm-hmm. What system does a sprinter use? Anaerobic. The question is talking about what? Respiration. Okay, then. So then it was like, so, sir, Mr. Best, that's all? I say, yes. Like, you're serious? I'm like, yes. And then it was like, guys, try not to read the question full. Look at the question, yes. Read it, yes. But look for what you know inside the question. Look for what you can relate the question back.
Nice. Right?
I think that's something that we need to do, especially when we're teaching our kids. Yeah. My thing is like, you don't want them to regurgitate work. No learning goes on there. None. Zero learning goes on there. Mm. If you get them to explain it how they understand the wording, right? You will see like that. You could see that learning had taken place.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then from there, we could see our young people having a more appreciation for the particular subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, at UE, no, coming on to UE now, left BCC, coming on to UE, as Tahir was the faculty right before me, right? And Tahir was like, Roderick, I need you to come and be faculty right. I said, Tahir, boy, go for Romy, boy, I've been in the politics. Tahir told me so up to the last day of signing in my stuff. Yeah, I tell you, Tahir was like, Best, I need you to become faculty rep. I said, okay. 5 minutes before stuff was closed, I was like, I had in my stuff, blah, 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 blah. We went, and then voting took place. I'll be mad honest. I voted against myself. I said, Lord, listen to me, listen to me very carefully, buddy. If I'm supposed to get in, I will do my job, but I am not going to vote for myself. I know it don't sound logical, but in all fairness, I say, if this one vote means that I do not get in, oh, well, fair enough, but I will not vote for myself. And I got in, and then it was like, that was a whole new different experience, because then I had to come off from being much more passionate person. Still kept my passion, but still be more diplomatic about how I go about seeing certain stuff and how I go speaking and XYZ, stuff like that. So I must say, like, my first time as a faculty rep, my first year, one of the things I made sure that we did was, for October, we did breast cancer. And I must say, big up the faculty of sport, like, mm-hmm. the staff, like, I mean, I call, I message, I email, everything. I said, guys, I just want one favor for y'all. What would you like, Mr. Best?
I said, we'll let y'all to wear on Wednesdays, just wear a pink shirt every single Wednesday for that month. That's all I asked of you. I asked my faculty students as well, all 160 of them. And for the most part, we all complied. Even though it was, you know, the whole online vibe, they still, you know, they still did it. And it was very appreciative of them to do that. Through the years, there's some other stuff that I did while being there, but...
So before before this conversation with Tahir and after subsequently being elected, did you do anything like that before?
Nah, that was my first time.
Like, this is your first time ever, bro. Like, listen, that way you gotta love people like Tahir, bro. You need friends like that that see the ability in you, right? And that's why, like, all you know, you were saying off here that it's such a beautiful thing. How exciting was that challenge for you? Because I could see you, the passion in your face, right? How exciting was that challenge for you, knowing you never do it, but someone believe you can do it so much that you could as well believe you could do it yourself?
I'll be honest, I was like, Lord, I don't know if you can get this thing do, buddy, but if you can get it do. I think one of the, and the thing is like, I wouldn't say it was much, it was too much of a challenge or whatever the case is.
Because, nice.
Like, even when I had a picnic committee,
mm-hmm.
like, you have to go through like a whole interview process and blah, 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 and stuff like that. Like, my committee members for my first year as a faculty rep, they pick their particular positions they wanted to be in.
Nice.
And each one of them fulfill their duties. I must say, I love them. They were my other heart. The people that helped me be calm and collective and, you know, keep me in order.
Mm-hmm.
Those individuals I greatly appreciated them. My vice president at that time was Jada Moore Grant.
Nice. Shout out to him.
My VRO was Ronaldo Christie.
Big up to him.
My student representative was Michael Beckles. Nicholas Beckles. Nicholas Beckles.
Mm-hmm.
My secretary was Cherise Crawford.
Nice.
My treasurer was Andrea Seeley.
Nice. Good. Shout out to all of them.
Andrea Skeet.
We got you. Don't worry. We got you, Andrea Skeet. The show is recorded, so the correct name will be out there for sure. Andrea Skeet. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Roderick Best. He's a sports scientist. Such a beautiful story. Ollie, it's so refreshing when we hear a young man with stories like that, backgrounds like that. But then getting to where they're at now, Ollie, is so beautiful, yeah. Man. We can take in some information from the NTA. And when we come back, we can have a conversation with Mr. Roderick Best, a sports scientist, right here on Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
With the National Transformation Initiative and the world's number one provider of online education, Coursera, Beijing's have access to the highest quality online courses. Courses in high-tech areas like artificial intelligence, virtual reality, coding, and app development. But no matter how high-tech you want to climb in your learning journey, a solid foundation in the fundamentals of reading and writing is still so necessary, and now so easily available through the NTI and Coursera. If you are taking a course in a coding language like Java, for example, at the same time, you could also be taking a course called Grammar and Punctuation to make sure that you are solid in the codes of your spoken language, English. While you are taking a course in virtual reality or artificial intelligence, why not also learn to express yourself more intelligently in writing? With the course called Writing and Editing, strengthen the foundation of your reading and writing with these courses, which are free, fully online, and you can work at your own pace in your own place. What are you waiting for? Go to training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb, because you're never too good to get better.
9 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Sluggy.
Nice, man. Ollie's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. What a journey this young man I've traveled on, you know, and I was saying, like, I believe that Barbados and Barbadians and communities and other young men and women, you know what I mean, other youth need to hear stories like this. You understand? He didn't make it sound easy at all. He was extremely honest, but he showed you well. At the end, he's smiling now. You know what I mean?
He seemed to be smiling through it all too, though, you know?
That's what I mean. And he young, so I mean, like, we can't just think that only if you sing a popular song, you're the star. That's why we love the NTA. That we love the NTA as well. Like, you can't be just a star if you got a popular song on the radio, bro. Like, young people out here, like this, like Mr. Roger Best doing this. And he young compared to, like, listen, everyone on the radio is calling me young. Like, Ronnie and them, we say young because you're far younger than them. You will say young because you're younger than you. Late great Dennis used to always call me a young man because he's far younger than him. But then this young man here is far younger than I am. You know, but so much knowledge already and such a journey already. Big up Tahir on the outside for the call, man. That is why we have to continue to big up our community heroes, our homegrown heroes, our homegrown champions. We have to. So, Mr. Roderick Best.
Yes, sir.
We can speak about these sports psychology, right? We will.
Yeah.
But before you speak about sports psychology and why it's so important and why you think we absolutely need it, why you go into detail, I want to know what you think we need to do. Not what we need to do more of, but what we absolutely need to do to revive sports in our communities. I don't want what you feel we should do, what you would like to see. What we need to do from a professional. Sorry for asking for free information. You know, you study long. I'm being real because I'm a professional too, so I charge for my stuff too. You understand? But I think this is something that must be on record, Ollie. You know, it'd be nice to have it recording. So I want to know what do we need to do in Barbados to revive sports in the communities? The show is yours.
Okay. Well, first, I think one of the things we need to look at is sport development, right? I may get knocked for this, but it's okay. I say this all the time. Cricket is basically one of our biggest sports in Barbados, correct?
Correct.
Let's just say, for instance, you remember when we had the cricket stuff here, right? This is something that I had always been questioning. Why is it that we don't like to let other sports get their development? This is where the development part comes in. Cricket, let's just say, for instance, cricket is Saturday and Sunday, right? We have Monday free, Tuesday free, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, till Saturday and Sunday. What is it, right, that we don't have like a tennis match on Mondays? People come, pay $5. That money goes where? Development of our Barbados tennis players. We have top-notch tennis players. We have tennis players, I can't remember where the guy and the young lady went, but they have left Barbados and played on international scene. But how did they get there? You know what I'm saying? It's like there's nothing there. No development was given for them for that. Okay, Tuesday, we could have volleyball. Barbados went volleyball a couple years back. If memory serves me right, we mashed them up in volleyball a couple of years back. Since then, it's very hard to get us on our feet. I'm going to be very biased. Chargers and UE, Blackbirds volleyball team, they're going to teams that I have good relations with. Probably Deacons too as well, but you know, there's only teams I have good relations with. You know, what is it that we don't have a volleyball match, whereas we showcase that? People come for, you know, the funny vibes and things. Where we can have beach football.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And all that.
We got enough beach too. We can roll the beach too. When it comes to beach football, right? Listen, right? And you know, like, things going in a joke. You know what, man? Always made sport. And as really young as say, like, we should be the best beach footballers in the world. Like all we got is beach. Even if you live in St. Thomas. Right, that ain't got on the beach. Even if you live in St. Thomas, that ain't got on the beach, right? But you just kind of don't go over Warrens. Just get on the hill over Warrens there where you're going to be. at the beach. But it's a small beer beach and no beach football. And no beach football. So you need a boots on a starts on the Shane Garris.
Exactly, you go play. But as I said, but when it goes there, that's one of the things we need to look at.
Yeah.
Development of other sports. We can't just sit down and say, we can only leave cricket. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about bring tourism into this as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can't only use cricket as only the only money venture for bringing foreign exchange into mm-hmm. the country. We have other sports. Come on. We have two tracks in Barbados.
Yeah.
And basically, they're no good. What is it that we can't bring people in from Canada, all these cold places, during December, whatever case may be, charge them a little fee. Hotel industry gets money. We sports get money. The facility gets money. And they're coming here, enjoying the sun, and doing their sport. Everybody wins. You know, it's overall circles. Sports is something that can bring that together. And then my next point is that we do not have any leagues here in Barbados. I'm going to use cricket again for example. I'm very sorry, cricketers. I love you all. But I'm going to be honest. A cricketer could go cricket, and at the end of the month, they get roughly, let me just say, $2,000, give or take. I could be wrong. Don't beat me, peoples. I could be wrong. They get $2,000 at the end of the month to go home with, right? And all they have to do is show up for practice. All you have to track athlete now, yes? I'm going to use myself for an example. When I go to practice and something happens to me, I have to go and look to foot, make one doctor. And that comes out of money that I may or may not have. You don't get paid to do this. Our athletes, let's look at our track athletes. All of our international track athletes are based where? Overseas. Why is that? Oh, because overseas has the best coaches. No. We have enough stuff here to develop athletes. We don't lack anything to develop our athletes. We have enough resources. We have enough places to develop athletes. We need to put more money inside of that, into developing our athletes. And, you know, think, at the end of the day, leagues is something that would help people. I'm not going to tell you give everybody $18,000 every day. $400, $100 a week goes a long way. Bus fare is $350. $7, maybe $14, depending on how far you have to travel. And that's $14 of money that you're going to run. Like, you're going to play football. You're going to do track and field. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And if you look at it, a lot of our programs don't have anything for senior athletes. If you do not get out of Barbados as a junior, you're stuck. You're struggling. You may get a one-off athlete that inside of our senior, you may get a one-off, but at the end of the day, if you do not get out of Barbados as a junior athlete, no matter what sport you play, you will always struggle. And what is that? You know? And then my next thing is, I may get beat for this again. I don't mind. It's okay. What is it that athletes are only noticed when they do something? No one helps them get to where they're at. But yeah, you're at the airport, one being pictures and one being the front line of the news and all that stuff. You did not help that athlete get there, but yet you want to take that glory for yourself. You want to make it look, I'm this minister, this time, let's know it's going to be. Right? And then on top of that, the next thing that I think is how we highlight our athletes.
Mm.
I've listened to our news stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna use Ellerslie for example.
Mm-hmm.
Ellerslie in 2010 or 2011, 2010, yes, 2010. We came eighth out of 250 schools plus, and the headlines read big and bold: Ellerslie fails. Okay, I'm gonna tell you how we managed to fail. We failed because we were not prepared for what happened. When we got there, when we get on the track. At 5:59 before the track race start, because the track race start at 6:05, 6:05, 6:05, 6:05. Before the track, at 5:59, outside was piping hot, here we tell you. As soon as 6 o'clock hit, we were there trembling. Because what we are running in clothes that we run here in Barbados with. We didn't have the gear necessary to go and run. So by the time we get on the track, all the warm-up and stuff that we did before 6 o'clock, I'm going to do. we're struggling to just to get our own track. And it just so happened that we came here. Oh, yes, this other school, blah, 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 blah. We wouldn't. Yes, they had experience. This was the first time we were going there. But yet, big and bold, we came here.
But how you're looking at it, how you're looking at it, right, is so honest, because like, if you came eighth, there wasn't just eight schools.
Exactly.
That, but I mean, it is so obvious and so honest, but yet we all probably were at one point in time looking at things like that. You understand? Like,
yes.
40 people enter this race. You make the last eight. So you're in the finals. You're in the finals in one of the eight lanes. And then you come fourth or fifth. Or you come eighth. And then you're looked at as such a failure. But that time, 32 other people entered this race, you know. That you got faster times than, you know.
Yes!
No, I mean, it honestly, how we're looking at it is the truth. Just that.
You know,
I don't think we was looking at it like that. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, the next thing is we need to support our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one thing I found, that athletes get support from other athletes that are basically there. We don't get no outside support. Let me look at, for instance, let me look at Jamaica. Right? Jamaica rallies around Jamaica. When we went to Penn Relays, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the stands, going straight across, you could see nothing other than green and yellow. Beer Jamaican flags going straight across, covering it. I mean, we got our little Belgian flags because it was Ellerslie Queen's College in spring. We had our little Belgian flags and a few other, you know, Belgians that came there. We had that little support, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, don't get me wrong, that support was greatly appreciated. We loved it. But when you look at the support factor that is given to our athletes, no matter what the sport is, it is only from athletes.
But you know that it wasn't always like that. I remember, right? They had the Obadeli Classic, right? A time back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Obadeli Classic, and we were invited to play. But that time was in the police band, right? But obviously it was a cadet, so it was young, probably about 16. And Dan Bascom, Tito Ellis, myself, R. James Holder, Marlon Ramis, a group of beer youngsters went and played, and the stadium was packed to capacity, bro. For the Obadeli Classic. I remember that. Then I remember going to the stadium, had a buddy of mine, the coach, he used to run it back in there as well, called Stephen Tate. And we went there with Stephen to watch some. Yeah, we went with Stephen to watch some games. And it was only us. And that wasn't much years after, Ollie. So now he's saying that, I actually, if we're being completely honest, I forgot that I ever had the Obadeli Classic. It's only now he's saying that they don't got the support no more. He said, wait. I remember being at the stadium and the stadium being packed, though. You know what I mean? And that was 40 years ago. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be there. So I mean, that's why you do all it. What caused that support to wane so much, man?
That's the thing. No,
that's
a big
drop off.
Really look at obligations, and it goes back to development, right? I could say that they lost interest in the sport because the development process had been hindered a bit.
I get you. I get you.
I can't put an exact pin on it.
No, I get you. Ain't enough. It wasn't like we cheered for it, but then after it wasn't enough to cheer for. So we wasn't getting a lot of Carifta goals. We weren't getting a lot of CSC goals. We wasn't getting a lot of finals in the Olympics. We wasn't getting a lot of world championships.
But Jar this year, right? Think about it. Let me look at inter-school sports, for instance, right? Let me jar inter-school sports. Inter-school sports is one of the biggest things that we just got, right?
Yes.
Look at our athletes running that into school sports. What do they get? They get the vibes. They got the chance. They got every single thing, right? They have all of that. And that alone is energy. When I tell you it's energy.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, when I tell you that I had a time where I run a 4x8, I fall down over the line, and all I can remember is my boy Antonio Masco in front of me clapping so, and I was knocked up, and I had to go and run a 4x4 afterwards. So understand when they tell you that, then you get from the learning and you think, oh, and the next thing too is that some of the athletes do not taking this thing too seriously. I'm going to tell you something. The year that we broke the 4x4 record, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the top schools that was inside of the 4x4 are supposed to be come out in the top four,
mm-hmm.
were running up and down as warm up in a group calling, trying to figure out which boy is Hardy boy number one versus Hardy boy number 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't really talk about we face the hard, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Yeah. But that was what we did. We was on the line, skinning our teeth, laughing bad, until we hear on your mark. Everything was done. It's down to business. It is business. And we will fight to get that baton from third leg. We will fight to get that baton from third leg. After that, the race is over. We're back to being friends. You know what I'm saying? I think that is something that I believe I blame the coaches for this one. They are trying to be too segregated. At the end of the day, if I have eight athletes and you have eight athletes and you got eight athletes, that's thing. At the end of the day, who are we going to be represented when we qualify?
Yeah.
We all have to come together. Yeah. So my thing is, as I say when I think, if I just coach the best hurdlers in Barbados, you got hurdlers.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we can't come together one day and say, okay, hey, send your hurdlers over here to me and I'm going to send my jumpers over to you since you got the best jumpers. You work on my jumpers, I work on your hurdlers, and then at the end of the day, I don't have to say, oh, I don't want the glory for your athlete. Let the athlete have the glory. Your time as an athlete or whatever the case may be gone. You're the coach. Let them have that glory. You know what I'm saying? Like don't try to stamp on their thing. Like, let the athletes come together. Because if they don't come together, at the end of the day, they're gonna got this thing that they're just gonna be like always not participating in the sport for enjoyment. It's just because, oh, I'm here. You know, that is something that we need to get away from. Get our athletes to come together. We all wanted to represent Barbados. I went to States to run. Because I have a coach overseas too. And if you heard how these his athletes was cheering me on, they don't know me. They only know me because the coach is also my coach. But if you hear how his athletes was cheering me on as I ran in different clothes compared to them, it was amazing. I need to put a pin there.
Listen, man. Listen, it's so much of what you said. It is true, but in my opinion, Roderick, Mr. Best, I don't think that we can be that successful if you don't employ some of the things you said. Like the simple analogy you brought forward about the hurdler and the jumper. Like I train the best hurdlers. I'm the best in training hurdlers. Like, and you have hurdlers, you send them over to me. And if you're really good, you got the best jumper, I send them over to you. Because when we leave here, who we're going to
represent?
Who we're going to represent is Barbados together. But the fact that we are so small, I don't think it can work any other way, because we need the best at all times. So we don't need me competing against you. Leave that for if it's school and the children competing in school, you know, for the points and so on. But let us focus on the development aspect of it, on getting as much of us as good as possible.
Listen, Barbados will go from being that little speck, just little ways off of the Caribbean chain to being to be actually stamping our ground. We already have our international people. We have Riri, they're doing her thing. We have Akilah Jones, they're doing her thing. We got Jono out there doing his thing. We got Tristan Evelyn out there doing her thing. And then I must say my athlete that I looked up to all my life is Shane Bradford. He's up there doing his thing as well. I can call track athlete because, you know, I'm a track athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But those people I can call, they're out there doing their thing. They're out there working very hard. And at the end of the day, when you look at it, what has Barbados really done for them? Here, all this gear to go and represent Barbados as it relates to a particular thing. Like, we need to add more, give more. There is enough funding. If the government of Barbados need to get away from it too, there is enough funding going on that you can put inside of sports to see, to change how Barbados is viewed as a sporting entity and as a country in a whole.
So I just let you know, like, my phone is going crazy. The people are absolutely loving this. Wonderful, wonderful job. So just let you know, we have to do a part two for sure. It is like persons obviously knew how important sports was to us, but to hear someone like you actually bringing solutions, you know, because that's honestly what we need, man. We need solutions from young people, because the truth is, Ollie, we are not going to be here. Exactly. You know what I mean? The people don't want to hear it, and some of my friends don't like to hear me say this, but we are not going to be here, man. This world is not ours anymore. You know, just being real, Roderick, and you as a young man, you can realize when you start talking to 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, you can realize it. You can realize it. Well, this is their world, not mine. You know what I mean? So what I'm doing now, they are going to inherit. So that's where you have to take ideas from them. You understand, as crazy as the might sound, Ollie, as stupid as the might sound, if it is things that they feel deeply in their heart, we have to take these ideas and solutions from them, because the truth is, we will not be here to enjoy it. So hold on to what? What to hold on to, Ollie? We are not going to be here.
I think it's important to take the youth's perspective.
You have to. We ain't gonna be here. Don't care how bright you are. Don't care how let the youth wait the turn. When it could wait the turn, you know what the youth could do will be? Wait it out. Although they may get old too, wait it out. And eventually we gonna die young alone. You can die young too. Yes, young people will die too, that's in nature life. But Ollie, there'll be much more of them than us. Me as an older person getting up in age, I seen it. I would see that there won't be 40 people my age. Nowhere. But you will got 4,000 people the same age someplace. You know, you work with children and being got time. So that's it. You know what I mean? Like, we've got 11,000. And all our young people. And out of my 11,000 on BIM Got Talent, 8,000. Are Barbadians or Barbadian descent, brother? All young people. You understand? Don't care how big my other platforms are. Don't care how much communities they got. Don't care how much callers we got calling here and love me. Can't match the amount of young people. Don't care how much of them die. Don't care how much of them kill out. So we are not going to be here. There are going to be much more of them than us. So this is going to be damn world. So that's why loving people like Roderick Best bring forward solutions, and what he said is a challenge to coaches. Before we go on, man, because you're real passionate about the youth and the community, right, Ollie? So before we go on, let me talk to someone who thought that they were good in sports. good evening, Mr. Spencer. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Good evening, sir. I'm great. I thought I was a big time wolfman basketball man, you make a sport out.
Listen, Colleen. Who do you open batting for?
Sheffield's
White Ram?
My Sidaka in the thing now. Sheffield and St. George, man.
So they had a White Ram there? Yeah. Sheffield White Ram, are you serious?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Oh.
You got me there.
Oh.
Just checking. They're football too.
What was your highest average for a season?
My Lord have mercy, you got me there now. In terms of average, well, I can't remember that, but I mean, talking about runs. I didn't play a lot of cricket, though, because I see at 18. Hello?
Listen, you said what? I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't play a lot of competitive cricket, though, because I went to sea at 18 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so most of the cricket I played competitively would have been between 73, 74.
Nice.
And then I have one when we were, when the banner was with, we were the resident banner all it in. As a matter of fact, we were the first band that ever backed the team talent, 1977.
Ooh, so I nice played
that
boy.
Year. I stayed home in 83. I played guitar in two tents, you know, a lot of people don't know that.
You did?
Yeah, I played guitar in Alien Forces and Cultural Vibrations.
Nice, boy. And you didn't sing the years you played guitar?
No.
So what made you decide about damn the guitar and step up front? Because you had good clothes, you look good on stage, you tell yourself you look too good. You tell yourself you dressed too good to be in the back.
That was before I actually went in the tanks, you know. That was
yes.
88 and nice. 83. I went in the tanks in
95. Nice. You went in the tank the right year, but you went in the tank the year that tanks was hot.
True.
Yeah, that was the year of music changing Barbados forever, boy. 1995, boy. I won the pinnacle year after that.
House of Soca was kicking, boy.
House of Soca was smoking, boy. 1995.
The Adore Serenade and
yeah.
The people.
I think at that time, late great Sauters used to be in that band,
yes,
too.
Yes.
The House of Soca
yes.
band. 1995, yes. Man. Nice. Listen, I have a question for you, though.
Yes, please.
Because we can't release the songs yet, but I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do you plan to cause trouble this season? Because if your crop-over is starting like this, I can only imagine how tent would be. Now, I know this is not a tent ad. I know you don't come to plug a tent. But,
no, not
but
really.
Mrs. Spencer,
yes, sir.
I must ask, because I'm extremely intrigued. Barbados, Colleen had a song to bring this evening. That is so much fire, we can't let it go today. Listen to me. How did rehearsal go for... God, I know rehearsal started already.
We
I want to know
rehearsal
how rehearsal's going.
Last night was good. We only did the keyboard, which is Tito Ellis, that you just you mentioned.
Tito Gittins, not Ellis.
Gittins, sorry.
Right, Tito Ellis is the drummer. I got you covered, buddy. Don't worry, I got you back always.
So, and keyboard and backing vocalist.
Nice. How it coming down?
Very, very good. Very
so
good.
Why, right, Colin? Why are you looking to cause trouble again?
I ain't looking to cause trouble. I don't know how these things... I can't control what really comes into my brain, you know? I don't know something wrong with my brain. But it is, I think it's shaping up me from what's happening, what happened to... You know, the last 24 hours.
Yes.
It's shaping up to be a good season, huh?
Listen, man, so this track that we can't play, are you doing this on opening night of the tent?
Well, yes, dude, that's the song I'm doing.
Listen, Miss Rice just messaged me, she's listening to the show. Calling Miss Rice, please, 434-1790. We have to speak to Miss Rice or let Ollie call her.
Yes,
listen, so you are doing this track on opening night of the tent.
You remember? I don't know if you remember our last interview. You asked me what I was doing, and I told you what the song title was.
You tell me what the song title was, but when you tell me about the song title, I didn't study so deep how troublesome you were going to be because you didn't seem like you had nothing on your sleeve. You wasn't moving nefarious or you wasn't being malicious. I mean in the true meaning of the word. I just thought
it's
it was
true.
A title. But know that things reveal this one is problems for Barbados.
And a couple of things happened that I put into the song, you know.
Yes.
So to freshen it up, you know.
So listen, Miss, your tent manager heard this song.
Oh yes, she did. I allowed her to hear it last night.
You allowed her to hear?
Allowed her.
Can we get Miss Rice on the phone, please?
Good evening, ma'am.
Oh shoot.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
I am great.
Sweet. I love to hear it. I love to hear when you come. That means Cropover is officially starting.
Is officially on.
That is what I'm talking about. Listen to me. Yes. This song ain't play a peep on ear yet, and it's causing problems. My phone is going crazy, sluggy. I have to be there to see what song this is that can't be played. I have to hear why this song can't be played. This is causing trouble already, and no one heard it. You heard the song, Miss Rice, and he said to me, he's doing this opening night. Are you prepared? And who else you have on this show so that Mr. Spank, someone make your show get stopped?
Well, let me say this to you. When I first heard the topic, the title of the song,
mm-hmm.
I said, Colin, please do not go and sing a song that you cannot go into finals with. Oh, right or wrong, Sluggy?
Oh, my God. Right.
I said, do not come with a song. I am carrying 10 people to finals this year.
Yes.
Okay, I speak that into our lives.
For sure.
And I do not come with a song that cannot go anywhere. Now, I listened to the song last night, so I believe it can go somewhere.
Listen.
No, it has lyrics that, you know, you're going to sit down. Some people going to end up on the floor. Some people going to end up standing up.
Oh, God, Ollie.
But it is going to be one of the songs that he should probably write about 6 encore verses for.
Ooh, listen, and I know you. I didn't know if you say that. You ain't saying that on air for Barbados to hear if it wasn't so. You know what I mean? I know you, so I know that this got to be something on the floor.
I told him he has to write at least 2 more encore verses.
Lord.
Interesting.
So, Eleanor, who everyone is ready so far? Can we get some dates from you? Because I want Barbados to come out and see this, and then I want you all to take Colin to task.
We started rehearsals last night.
Uh huh.
And we rehearsed 6 people last night because we do our rehearsals in a structured kind of way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what we do is make sure that the background vocalists are all ready,
mm-hmm.
and the singers have a chance to actually get to sing their song before they go with the band.
Nice boy.
And then we put it together, say next week or so. No, we put everybody together. And that's where we go.
Nice.
We did 6 people last night, and mm-hmm. I am going to say this to you, Suggy, and whoever is listening.
Yes.
The rest got to come good.
Woo! All stars, Calypso Tent.
All stars.
Who's your main sponsor this year? Who's the main sponsor this year? Show them out. Who's the main sponsor this year?
Our main sponsor this year, we don't have Cave Shepherd anymore.
Yes.
As the title sponsor. So we have 2 names we're going to
give
to you. We're going to have a press briefing later this week.
Nice.
And we will give the names at the press briefing. I don't know if it would be good or bad to say right now.
Sweet.
But we do have 2 new exciting sponsors.
That's right. Because, you know, the reason why I asked Eleanor, if I'm being honest with you, ain't a good tank. In your tank, you always get sand in the crow. If you say you know the crow.
You were asking me to say it just now. My first show is going to be held on the 18th of June.
Nice.
That is a Saturday.
Yes.
The show is going to be held at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That is 4 p.m. and evening.
Mm-hmm.
That also happens to be the day before Father's Day.
Nice.
Every single man that comes in there will be getting something.
You know that.
Rum, things sweet, things this, things that. I ain't even telling you what. Every single man will receive something.
I know that. All I just know, Eleanor's so good. I tell you, when you get in the crowd, you have to get something once you come in the crowd. Enjoy your tank, and get something.
We will be ready.
I hear you. Sorry.
You know where we will be? We will be at LESC.
L-E-S-C. L-E-S-C. Nice. The 18th Lloyd at 4 p.m. Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center.
Early bird tickets.
4 p.m., Lovely. Yes. Early bird tickets at how much?
Early bird tickets through Ticketpal and its location.
Uh-huh. At how much?
The early bird tickets will be $40.
Sweet. Sweet.
For zero. If you pay at the door, you got to pay $50. For all members to get... that want to come in
yes.
the show and get back home early, this one is for you. Those
nice.
Persons who want to get out the house because we've been locked in so long, this is for you. The people that love All Stars and want to hear real Kaito, real Calypso,
yes.
real social and political comedy,
mm-hmm.
this is for you too.
Yes.
All right?
Yes. So love it.
Yourself for the 8th of June.
Yes.
All of us could be nearly finished the show or just finished because we started at 4.
Good. Okay, peoples. Yes, okay, peoples.
It's going to be hot.
Nice, nice. It's going to be hot. We have 2 more minutes to go. That is Eleanor Rice from...
So now we got 5 new people joining the tent.
Yes, we have 5 new people joining the tent. And that is not the last you're going to hear from her for sure. The tent is opening June 18th at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center at 4 p.m. Tickets are out there, are early bird tickets, any ticket pal location, tickets are $40. If you pay at the door price will be $50. So it's best to get your ticket to make sure you are early, that to avoid disappointment. Colin Spencer have a bomb dropping, Eleanor already told him to write encore verses. I'm looking forward to that. The 18th of June at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center. Cropover is starting. Love it. Mr. Spencer, your closing words quickly. What can we expect from you on opening night? 30 seconds, go.
You got me laughing. You got me scared, man. No, I can come out as usual and do my thing. You know, I like to do my thing. Good vocal, good rendition. Rasaili always told me, you make your opening night count. Yes, that's what Ras told me. Once you make your opening night count,
yes,
it guarantees you a good season.
Sweet.
That's what I've always concentrated on since he told me that.
Yes, good. Peoples, that is Mr. Colin Spencer. That's not going to be last you heard of him. That is my brother. I see him as an absolute legend, and you're going to...
I was to remind you of something, though.
Go ahead, quickly.
You remember how many years ago you promised to write a Ragga song for me?
I have it all now. I have it all now. Yeah. Oh, they banned me. They banned me. Listen, Mr. Roderick Best, we have to do a part 2. Absolutely love your contributions today. You are an outstanding young man. And I'm asking you, please, for a part 2. Maybe we could talk about the psychology of sports. Maybe we could talk about sports psychology. And we could talk about the benefits of it and why we need it. So I need a part 2 from you. You are a brilliant young man. Your closing words to Barbados, but not goodbye, because we're doing part 2. So it is not a goodbye. Just your closing words for today. What you want to leave with us. People, this is BJ Rhythm and Rhyme. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan, handing over to Ollie and Mr. Roderick Best. I love you all. It's been a great show. Your closing words, buddy. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Part 2 is supposed to be tomorrow. Let's go. But to Barbados, guys, to those who are listening, I hope you guys be safe out there. Also, support sports. It needs the support. Our athletes really need the support. Any way that you could contribute, any way you could, you know, get the little 5 minutes away from work. So bosses, you know, give the, you know, the workers a little 5 minutes off so that they could come and support their kids or a sport that they're interested in. Sports is beginning to make a turn since the COVID pandemic. Let's hope that we can, no, let's hope we will make a big forward from here on out. But guys, let's be good. Now, fellas, make sure to go and talk to a counselor, whatever the case is. Get that little thing off of your chest. Shout out to my new sports science committee. I'm not there no more, but Mr. Besson is there
their new president. I wish them all success in everything they're going to do. Large off my UV family, large off everybody that I know, everyone has been listening, everyone has messaged me. I love you guys. Be safe, be good. Bessie out.
Mr. Roderick Best, thank you so much for being a guest. We look forward to having you on part two. This has been Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme, brought to you with the kind compliments of NTI.
Every week, the Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme family, together with the National Transformation Initiative, is be dropping transformation bombs. Listen to Senator John King go boom and blast about national identity.
This whole notion of people denying that Bayesian is a language, it's part and parcel of why we need a season of emancipation. To emancipate people's minds from mental slavery. Yes. These are things that would have been forced on our people many, many years. So the things that you create, you're told they have no worth. So that if you create a language, if you create music, if you invent a new way of dealing with, let's say, economics or whatever, you were told that it has no value. And what we're fighting to do now is to reclaim our dignity, reclaim our confidence, and have the next generations of Barbados be extremely proud of who they are and what it is that they themselves create and how they feel about the world. It's important.
This is so important that the NTI has designed a course called Citizenship, which helps build a strong sense of national identity and what it means to be a Bajan contributing to the development of Barbados. Take the citizenship course at training.nti.org.bb. training.nti.org.bb. Where great Bajans go to get even better.